Good afternoon and welcome to Fade to Black Cinema. I'm Michael, your bougie black brother, and I'm here with my co-host Alicia.
Hello.
And we finally got to seeing season two of one of the most interesting TV series put on Netflix in a while. It's called Ozark. And we saw the last season. I'm not even sure if we did a review on it, but we're going to jump into season two because season one kind of just blew me away of how intricate it was on this family and what they did and the main character, you know. So let me give you the summary like I normally do. The series starring Jason Bateman, one of my favorite actors, is a financial planner who relocates his family from Chicago to a summer resort in the Ozarks with wife Wendy and their two kids. Marty is on the move after a money laundering scheme goes wrong, forcing him to pay off a substantial debt to a Mexican drug lord in order to keep his family safe. While the Burns fate hangs in the balance, the dire circumstances force the fractured family to reconnect. Sounds, I don't know. What does that sound like if you would have heard that? Baby?
No, it just sounded crazy.
Yeah. It's kind of like, okay, this guy runs from Chicago and he's in the Ozarks.
Yeah, because you never thought that he was, how would you say, of a successful businessman.
Yeah, because the first season, for a couple of series, he seemed like a naive accountant.
Yes, he did.
That just got thrown into this.
Until you found out that he was the one that
he was the head fucking guy.
Yeah, yeah.
For 10 years, he's been laundering money.
For the cartel.
For the cartel. Mm-hmm. But living conservatively. So that was kind of something too, you know what I mean? So he had money and he knew exactly what actually to do with it. But what I liked about it was he was so smart, and the way they painted the picture on the first season, they walk you through a lot of his processes.
Right.
You know, he was saying, how do you clean money? And then he was showing you the process and he was explaining the process. But at the same time, you know, his wife was having an affair with someone. His children was really disconnected from the whole family in that way. So there was a lot of different aspects of this show that was kind of odd. But then when they came to the Ozark, that's when you said, okay, so what's going on in this town? And now there's a bunch of characters that actually came about on that. But the last part of last season, you know, spoiler alert, the Mexican cartel actually came there to say, okay, we want our money, but we want to do business. And Marty and his wife was dealing with these rednecks up in the woods that were selling, what's that, heroin?
Yeah, heroin.
Or cocaine,
yeah.
Something like that. But they had poppy fields or whatever from there. And Jacob and Darlene. Now, these rednecks was no joke. They were killing people like it wasn't shit. They were doing so much stuff, but they ran the town. They ran the area. People knew who they were, and they had control over so much stuff.
Yeah, Darlene, no joke.
Yeah. And then there was a FBI agent that was chasing him down.
A gay.
He was on drugs too, so he was a drug addict gay FBI agent that was pretty psychopathic. Roy Petty, his name was Roy. So that was that one. And then you had Laura Linney, which was great as Jason Bateman's wife. So this season, she stood out. She became almost the central character.
She was no joke. Now, she was like, you almost believe she was a criminal
and she's been doing it for a while.
Yeah, she was good at it. She was good at negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't good at threatening people.
No. Well, in the end, she pretty was. Mm-hmm. So really, his wife Wendy and Darlene, Jacob's wife, was really two central characters, and then the lawyer for the cartel.
Yeah, her name I like her.
Janet McTeer. She showed up really strong and threatening. You know, she's, mm-hmm. I like her as a character because we've seen her before. And she showed up on some things that was like, because remember, she was in Jessica Jones as her mother, remember? She played the mother of Jessica Jones. She was crazy as fuck. I'm not seeing the ones that I've really seen her with, but that one stood out. That was the most recent one. So I saw her face, but she's good. She was very good there. She came in sporadically, but when she did, it meant a lot.
It sure did.
It meant a lot, and she was really, really important. They had the relationships with like the little girl Charlotte. She stood out a lot more. It was almost like, and I'm gonna kind of look at the episodes of who the directors and everything were, but it had a lot of female touches in this. So a lot of times when you get the writers or the directors in there, you can see the standout of how the protagonists in different episodes was based on the women, and they were strong women narratives in a lot of these. The little girl, I really love her because she's trying to balance her family, her cousins that she actually killed their father.
Right, okay.
Her father that got out of jail.
Yeah, her father was loaded.
Crazy as fuck. Mm-hmm. Dealing with Marty because she see him as a father figure but don't really want to tell him that she looks up to him.
Yeah, she learned a lot from him. She learned a lot.
But she really looks up to him, but he's so emotionless, you know what I mean, that he doesn't even realize how much she sees him.
Yeah, until he had to kill somebody.
Yeah, then, you know, so that and was
he
the
changed
other crazy.
His little, he's like, oh, shit, I never had to deal with that before. Yeah.
Yeah, because everything happened around him. Yeah, but he thought he could keep his hands clean.
Yeah, everybody else did something but him.
Yeah.
Besides him just cleaning the money.
Yeah, but still, he just thought, I'm just the money guy.
Yeah.
I don't do anything else. Y'all do the crimes, I do the money.
Right, right.
Now you had to fucking kill somebody. Now you're just like everyone else.
Exactly.
You're just as bad as everyone else. Cartels, drug growers, whatever. You know what I mean? So it was really a whole different storyline than the first one. The introduction was really so good that you didn't know where they were going with this. So the one lady who ran the restaurant, she ran away with the money last season.
Right, right.
And then she came back because she got caught because she was on drugs.
Money in the trunk.
Money in the truck. And the FBI agent flagged her ass and started having her as an informant. So she was another female protagonist as well. Mm-hmm. So you got all these women that were central to what's going on in there. And Marty and the men took secondary roles in this second season, which that's how I saw it, which still to me was really cool.
Yeah, you,
because they made them all strong. Yes, you know what I mean?
Yes, they did.
There were no weak women in here. And the way the women were doing things, they were calculating. They did it in a smart way. You know, they may have failed in certain ways of doing things, but they were still successful at moving the narrative forward. And I really, really like that. Did you have any other standout characters? You know, I kind of named the main ones that I really thought was like really cool.
I mean, the ones that you mentioned were really, yeah, they really brung out the this season. Because that's mainly what the season was about, was those women.
Yep. Well, I messed up, baby. Charlotte was his daughter. I didn't mean to say Charlotte. Ruth is
Ruth,
the little girl.
Yeah, Ruth. Yeah, yeah. I mean, those characters were very substantial in this season.
Yeah,
I mean, it really, really, I couldn't stop watching it. It was just so, it was really, really good.
Yeah, it was like riveting. You know, I thought of the word riveting. But yeah, they were the ones that really made me wondered what the hell was going to go on next. You know what I mean? Because as you see one woman doing something, and then maybe the next episode they focused on the other woman, even though they all had something to do with each other.
Right.
You know, the lawyer knew about everyone. His wife, who she started to admire at the end. She knew about the girl, Rachel, who left. She knew about her. She knew about the little girl, Ruth, because they waterboarded her ass, which was like crazy as fuck. And then who was the other? And Darlene, that they wanted to fucking kill because they tried to kill them.
Yeah.
Because they was like, these rednecks is fucking up everything.
Yeah, they should have had let them kill them. Both of them.
Yeah, they should have just killed them in the car.
What pissed me off, though, is his daughter. Because she was so naive.
Yeah, yeah. Because she wanted to be emancipated from her family. And
until
like,
Ruth's father did some crazy shit on her ass.
Yep. And then now she was like, uh-oh.
Oh, shit. I'm getting out of here. Let me leave. Can I come back home? But I still want to be emancipated.
Yeah.
Like,
they're like, whatever. I just got to keep you safe. Yeah, so that even her character, I didn't really like her character. But she was just a naive teenager. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't to like. You know what I mean? It was just, that's the character who she was.
Right.
Which was fine. She just wasn't really central to the complete narrative of the series and everything. But, it was really, really interesting characters-wise. And then they brought in this season two, Buddy's relationships, not Buddy. Buddy was from the first season, but Buddy brought in the Kansas City mob.
Okay.
And that was another dynamic of what's going on in this whole situation. You got the FBI, mm-hmm. You got the Mexican drug cartel, you have the rednecks who dealt the drugs in the region in and out, and now you got the Kansas City mob that's part of the union. You know, they run the union. So this whole thing was to create a casino so they can launder money through cleanly. The whole effort was to say, if we can get this for the mob and it gets clean, then Marty and his family will be able to disappear.
Right.
And
right.
Say, y'all got everything y'all want. Now I can get the fuck up out of here.
Right.
And just things just wasn't going well. Because then it got into the politics of trying to get
the casino. Yeah.
And that's where his wife stepped in with her political background and was able to start dealing with all the politicians and the people with the money and the lobbyists.
Yeah, trying to sway her way.
Yeah, so it was, that's why it was really centered on her this time and how she manipulates.
She was good.
All of that in order to get what she needed. Mm-hmm. Oh, she was amazing.
Yeah, she did really good.
Amazing job. And her relationship with that one guy, I forget his name, but he admired the shit out of her. Well, I think he was like in love with her anyway, but he tried to be low key with it. But yeah, so she worked with him to gotta get the contacts in order to get the casino. And what that dude did, he did like a Trump thing. He was taking in his charity money and living off his charity money in order to stay wealthy and use his connections. But he wanted to get to casino so he can use their land in order to build the hotels.
Yeah, he wanted the hotels there. Yeah.
So he felt that if he helped her with this, he can leverage everything else so he can get that so he can come out of debt. So, you know, everyone was playing each other. But this season was all about the manipulation of how do we get away from the cartels by getting this done? But what does it take to get this new project in? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't about laundering money. It was all about how do you leverage and get to these politicians and everything. And that's where his wife was the central character throughout the series. And the episodes. Well, the series, this season. I just thought that was really cool. It just, and like you said, it just kept me watching it. Like, wow, look at what she's doing. Wow, look at what's going on here. Wow, look at this, look at that, blah, 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 blah. But great, great characters. Great characters. What else was another standout? Any other standouts in there?
No. I think
one of the, what about the little boy?
The son? He's smart.
Yeah.
He's smart. I think that his role was very, it wasn't too noticeable. I mean, it was nothing that just came out.
No. He was real subtle.
Yeah.
But I think he was I think part of what I think they wanted to show with that was he created two offshore accounts in order to launder money from money that they stole, him and his sister stole from the money that they supposedly turned in that was inside of the walls. So they took that and he used the money and opened up an account. And he did his research just like his dad, because he was watching his dad. He was listening to his dad, and he used his same methods to create false accounts under different people's names in order to create all of this money account somewhere else in two offshore areas. And his mom used the way his son did it by getting this one guy, what was that, $50,000 seat?
Yes.
To
a table
to come to this certain party where all of these people were. She leveraged what her son created in order to be able to come to this this party, and her son did it. And he was like, "I'm good at it. I know what I'm doing and shit." They was like, "How the fuck were you able to do that?"
Yeah, because they were doing it a different kind of way. They were doing old school.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, to mix the money up with the sales of their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas her son was like, "No, do an offshore account, put the money in there, let it sit a certain amount of time, and then
just move it from right here."
Yeah.
And he did it really well, and they didn't get into it. But I think they just said, "I'm showing you what I've learned, and I know how to do this."
Mm-hmm.
So you never know in the upcoming episodes where he's going to take it, because, you know, his best friend was the old man buddy that lived in the house in the basement. And so
Buddy owned the house.
Yeah. But he said he's not going to let the house go. Under the stipulations, he'll sell it to them for a certain price, but he had to stay there. And he was like, "This old man walking around naked around here, skinny dipping and shit." And he had like heart problems. So he could have died at any. He's like, "Don't worry, I'm going to die any day." But he became part of their family, which was like really extraordinary, too. That was a really great emotional thing that he appeared in a couple of them, because he helped the family in different ways, which was really, really cool, too. But yeah, so that son aspect I thought was interesting, because he worked with him, and the son did something almost cleaner than his father did, and they had no idea until they actually found out what the hell happened.
Right,
and then
right.
he just told him. He's like, "Yeah, if we're gonna tell the truth, yeah, I did it. What up? You know, you gave me a fake passport, so I use that as a person. And there you go." And they was like, "Wow, okay. This kid knows a lot of shit." So the one thing, and that was the thing that I asked a couple of people who watched the series as well. They said what made this show good was there's so many characters and so many stories, but you didn't get lost.
No, you didn't. You did, because they blend in so well.
They blend together so well. Absolutely.
All of them associated in some form together. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, Ruth, I really, really am really impressed with Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when she, no matter what, she loved her father and was trying to do everything to help her father. But her father was, no matter what, he was still a crooked motherfucker.
Yeah, he was just crooked. And so, he wanted to be.
Yeah, and he wanted her to do things. And she was like, she was like, "No, this is, I'm doing this. I'm trying to be legitimate. I'm trying to do this, right, And she wanted a house. And he told me, "You will never get a house." So, Ruth, I really felt for her,
Right, right.
And so with that, how his wife, right? Basically pay him to leave the state. But that woman right there.
But that was like, "I'm going to pay you to leave. Is this enough?"
And don't come back.
And don't come back. And he was like, bet that. And they caught his ass on the road, shot him down, and took the money.
Yep. Sure damn did.
And left him on the road dead. But you see that Ruth really either wanted her father gone. You don't know.
Yeah, because she wanted to kill him too.
So you don't know if she wanted to kill him or send him back to jail or still say, well, that's my father. I want to help him. She was confused. And I love the way they made her so confused. You know, initially she killed her uncles because she knew their livelihood would be gone.
Yeah, they tried to kill what's her name?
Yeah, but her livelihood would be gone. Mm-hmm. Her effort to have a better life would be gone, you know. So she knew that. So when her father got out and still tried to do criminal shit, you don't know, should I kill him? Because she already still had the guilt of killing her uncles.
Yeah.
So she was hesitant to say, maybe I should kill my dad. But she probably still would because, you know, there was two times that she pulled a rifle on his ass.
Yep, she sure did.
So I was like, maybe the third time she'll kill his ass because the first time he took it from her. The second time she shot directly at his ass and he was like, oh shit, she's fucking serious. So you would think that maybe she's going to kill him because he's going to do something crazy.
Yeah, that's automatic.
Or then the other time when they robbed the strip club, she was going to turn him in. So just to get him out of there. So she was really confused to say, no, this is not what I want.
Because she didn't
want
to do that to her nephew.
Yeah, so her cousin.
Her cousin, yeah.
Yeah, she didn't want to do that to her cousin because she wanted him to go to college. Because he's smarter than all of them. And she saw that. And she saw the potential in him where nobody else did. But except for Charlotte, you know, Marty's daughter. So, yeah, I love him, but he's a nerd. But anywho. But yeah, so that part of that I thought was like really, really cool too. But overall, a really amazing series. You know, everybody, I was looking at, the other show with the guy who's selling, he wasn't selling crack, Breaking Bad. It was almost compared to that, but this one is so odd because of the multi-layered characters in there and how it's expanding from the cartel and the family, from mm-hmm. the cartel mm-hmm. and the family and the rednecks to the cartel, to the family, to the FBI, to the cartel, the family, the FBI, and now the Kansas City mob. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's growing, but it's growing. It makes sense why it's growing. It's not just they just throwing in characters. They needed the union to help back the casino. So if they got that and they said, well, as long as there's, union people working there, we won't have a problem. And they was like, yeah. And then the politician said, as long as it ain't union. And they was like, no problem. So he lied to the Kansas City mob because he thought, because that in the end, he devised a plan that they would leave the country and go to Costa Rica.
Right. From Costa Rica. And let somebody else handle it.
Yeah. And it'd be like, that shit is all on y'all now. But in the end, his wife saw that
the potential. She was like,
we can do something.
Yeah,
here.
We can make some money.
Yeah, we can make some money or we can make a better life for our family by just working with these people.
Yeah, because he just wanted to run. He'd want to deal, created this mess anyway.
Yeah, it was all on his ass without even telling them what the hell was going on. Mm-hmm. And they had that. And that's the thing. That was one thing that they kept. You notice on the back end of the episodes, he said, she said, you're not consulting with me with these decisions. And he was like, I don't have time. I don't want to argue with you. And then she was like, all right, motherfucker. Then when she started doing it, he was like, you're not consulting with me. She said, I didn't want to argue with you. Yeah. I didn't have time. I didn't want to argue with you. So then when she started making the decisions, he felt like, oh, shit, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So then he got upset, even though that's the same thing he told her. And it was like, their relationships have changed because now it's not about laundering money. It's the politics of who you deal with.
Right.
And that's what she was good at.
Yes, she was very, very good at that.
That's why I think this made this one a different way you looked at this whole series, because it was about her skills, not his skills. Mm-hmm. The first season was his skills of laundering money and negotiating. Mm-hmm. And this one was about how her life as a political lobbyist or whatever like that to influence things in order to get what she wanted and for her family and yep. everything. So, yeah, I just thought this was an amazing season two. So season two for this is just well worth it. Well worth it. I'm not sure. Do you think you can follow this if you didn't see season one?
Yeah, it wasn't hard to follow.
Okay. I think so, too. I think you would say, who are these people? Yeah, they're dealing with the cartel.
Well, you kind of understood blah. He was an accountant anyway because, you know, he had the books.
Mm-hmm. And he's always had the books.
Handling the money, and he was handling the money.
Yeah. But I just liked the way he kept moving the money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was cool, too.
He kept moving the money. You didn't know what he did.
Ruth had the idea that the money was at the funeral home.
Which she was right.
But when they built the mausoleum mm-hmm. he knew another place to hide the money. Because his wife was the one who's like, we're going to build a mausoleum.
Yeah. Simple.
And he didn't get it. He was mad at her.
Yeah. We're going to waste money to do this. But he knew he couldn't keep the money in one place. Because sooner or later, someone's gone through accidentally or someone will say something. And he kept moving it. And the good thing was, and I love how the storyline went, he never showed you that he moved it.
No, he never showed
you. Until you saw that he moved it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you didn't know he moved it out of the wall.
Into the funeral home. Nope.
But you knew, she said, we need to buy some caskets. We need to buy some excess amount of what you call it and have a supply room to have that. And then I was like, okay, maybe they're going to put the money in these extra caskets. But they never showed you that that's what they did.
Right.
But then when they did it, you was like, oh, I got it. But then when she said, well, we want a mausoleum. And you got to see now there's a purpose on their conversations. Because when they say things, they're not going to actually tell you what they're going to do.
Right, right.
But you have to say, if it was you, what would you do this for? And she made him understand, we're buying this because of this. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm buying this
business
because of that. Yeah.
He was so smart.
But see, he was smart, but I think he started getting complacent because he felt that he wasn't in control. Where she said, no, we got to take control of this shit. And so she stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
And she almost became, not almost, she actually became the leader
but
of the family.
But Buddy told her, you got this. You can't wait on him.
Yeah, you can't wait. Yeah, because he was saying his problem is he's too careful. He waits. You have to react.
Yep.
And she understood that and then she started doing
just
that.
Like she said, oh, I burned down them poppy fields.
Yep. Oh, I did that. But in jail right now. And then it was kind of like he thought of the bone thing. And it was kind of like, so I like the way the series, they talk about what they're going to do, but they don't actually show you that they did it until the conversation comes up later. Because remember when she got kidnapped, because she got kidnapped in between there, she was like, what we did was we paid off the forensic people or the autopsy people. We paid them off and switched the bones up. And they told you that they did it, even though you saw them actually dig up the bones. Remember we said, how the fuck did they get them bones there?
I said
he must have switched them out, but how did they do that?
Yeah, how did they do
but
that?
Then later on they told you. They didn't show you shit. So there's certain things that they show you and there's certain things you have to assume until they validate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they validate it, then you go, oh, okay, I got you, that's what's up. But yeah, and then his father killed the FBI agent. Her father killed the FBI agent.
Yeah, Ruth. And he told Ruth what he did. She did.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I killed him. And she's like, I don't want to be involved with that.
Oh, fuck that.
Keep me out of that.
But they don't even know he's dead. So even within this series, the other characters don't know that the guy was dead until those hunters found his car.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the hunters found his car.
That was the last episode.
Yep. So the third season, You got the Kansas City mob, and you got
FBI agent who's FBI dead. FBI
that's dead, and his wife dealing directly with the cartel lawyer and them.
Yeah, but so I wonder how she's the leader. So I think his wife is going to be the one to handle the Kansas City mafia.
Well, yeah, so she may, but she may work with the cartel to deal with them.
Yeah.
Because that's who she's leveraging now.
Yeah, yeah.
She's leveraging her. Their power.
Yeah, they respect her.
Yeah, because they're like, she's smart as fuck. Mm-hmm. He's just the money guy. And she said, I love that quote. She's like, what do you want me to do? I'm an accountant. I just move the money. And she said, well, I'm just a lawyer. I just move words.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, nice. Yeah, nigga.
That shit was nice. That was nice. That was nice.
I was like, there you go, bitch. You got his ass. So,
yep.
But, nah, such a really good series. I hesitated because I wanted to see it all at once. I didn't want to see a couple, then see a couple, and then see a couple, then see a couple. I didn't think that would have been good. So I was kind of like, we'll see. You know what I mean? But yeah, I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward for the third season. And I think it's critically acclaimed. So there's going to be a third. I just want to see. It's just interesting where it's going to go. You know what I mean? Where would they go with this? Because there's so many open questions. You know, Netflix says the drama is coming back. They confirmed the third season, you know. And, you know, everybody got their own speculations. But really good. Really, really good. Did we miss anything, Ben?
No.
So, really, really good season. Netflix, Ozark, Jason Bateman and Laura Linney. Two of the main characters on it. That's so worth seeing. If you want drama, you want suspense, you want just intelligent type of way that the script is written and the story is, this is a very, very good series to see. But anyway, Fade to Black Cinema every Wednesday. Check us out. Movies, TV series, short movies, everything. We got some couple of things coming down the pike. I do want to see Bad Times at El Royale. So we're definitely going to see that. That's another independent movie too that we can check out. Other than that, there's other things that down the line, Christmas movies, a couple of things that we'll probably check out. The Girl in the Spider's Web. You know, that's the one based on Claire Foy.
Oh, yeah. Right? So the Bad Times at the El Royale, both of the ratings are for 72-75.
Yeah. So it's
that's good.
Yeah, that's good, especially with a high critic. So if a high critic rating means the story is pretty good, a high people's evaluation says it was entertaining. May not have been great, but it was entertaining. But when you have them both tied together, that'll be good. But the one I was talking about is The Girl in the Spider's Web, is the one with the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
So that's an unfinished story or a revised story of the original writer. Because he died before his books and everything really blew up. But he had like scripts and stuff that he was building with a continued story. But he never really put the story together. And what I was reading was someone took that and made a story out of it as a continuation.
Yeah,
so,
we read that when the first two or three.
Yeah, the three.
Yeah.
Because I read all three of them. Mm-hmm. And then we saw the series. I don't know what. I think we did them both. We saw the Swedish or whatever one. And then after that, then we turned around and we saw the American version of it. Remember?
Right.
And then after the American version, and it was like, wow, okay, I got you. But yeah, so that's the only thing that's coming up. But we'll be able to see those. And we'll see you on Wednesdays with Fade to Black Cinema, Bougie Black Bro on Instagram and Twitter, BougieBlackBrother.com, under Fade to Black Cinema, Fade to Black Cinema on Twitter. and iTunes. So make sure you leave your comments, your likes. We appreciate those. That helps us out. You know, we look at some things and we know if we're down the right track or going the wrong way. But thanks so much, and we'll see you next time on Fade to Black. Shut up. Peace.